look at Psalm 133. Father, we bless thy name. Lord, you alone are the King, the Lord, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Known unto thee, O Lord, are all of thy works from the beginning. Thou art full of grace and glory. Might and dominion are with thee. And Lord, thou hast seen fit to visit the sons of men. Thou hast been pleased, O Lord, to manifest the abundance of thy mercy in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, we desire this day that we might look into thy word and that we might receive there those things that thou dost have for us. Oh Lord, there are many words upon these pages. And yet we believe, O Lord, that thou hast a word for us. And we ask you, dear Lord, to bring that to us. That we might not be mere hearers of the word, but doers of it. Lord, that it might be that which is hidden in our heart. That it might be that which is above the price of gold and rubies. Lord, that it might be that which is most precious to us. And that we might be those, Lord, who are desirous of being taught by thy Spirit. Deliver us, Lord, from a puffed up mind. Lord, from a heart that would not be pliable. For Lord, we feel ourselves to be stiff-necked. Lord, doting upon answers when we know nothing. And so, Lord, we wait upon thee and ask you that you might help us. Lord, should you help us, we shall be helped. And if you do not help us, Lord, we shall be of all men most miserable. So, Lord, we cast ourselves upon thee this day. And we wait upon you, knowing, Lord, that you have the words of eternal life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 133. Psalm 133. And I will read this in connection with Psalm 122. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." And then in Psalm 122, this is a song of degrees of David. It says, "I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes will I now say, Peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good." Now, both of these psalms are songs of degrees of David. And it is thought that the degrees that's spoken of there means that there was a crescendo in the singing of these psalms, that it built to a higher level as they sang it. And certainly, whether that is true or not, of course, we don't really know for 100% that that be the case. That's what some of the supposed learned scholars have taught us. But whether that's true or not, we do know that both of these psalms do build towards a climax that is a blessing unto the people of God, which we know that the Lord has intended to bring a blessing to His people. Now, when we use that word intended, we often, that usually means to us something that we expect to do, but we won't be surprised if it doesn't happen. We say we intended to go so and so, but something happened and we didn't make it. But our intent was to do that. Well, there's no such thing with the Lord. Now, you often hear men speak about the Lord as though He is the same way as men. That, well, that was what the Lord intended to happen, but this over here happened instead because men didn't cooperate with Him or something ridiculous, something like that. But whatever the Lord intends to occur, He is going to cause to come to pass. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. So there's nothing that God intends to do that doesn't come to pass. And so it is the intent of the Lord to bless His people. And to that end, He has designed the course and way of their blessing. And how foolish it is for men to think that in some fashion they can circumvent that and come up with a better plan. But that's the constant thought process of men. Well, we don't need this or we don't need that because we'll just get over here and we'll get the blessing. It would be like Lot, as Brother Tim brought up this morning, it'd be like Lot saying, well, the Lord loves me and He's going to bless me. I'll just stay here in Sodom and I'll be all right. No, he wouldn't have been all right if he stayed in Sodom. Now, could Lot have stayed in Sodom? The answer to that is no. Why? Because the Lord intended for Lot to escape out of Sodom. And that's the way the Lord works with His people. He works in them both the will and the do of His good pleasure. He made Lot willing in the day of his power to come out of Sodom. Lot was ready to go when the Lord said go. And so it is that the Lord brought him out. Now, it is the intent of the Lord to bless His people as they dwell together in unity. How do we know that? Because all you got to do is read the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ in the 17th chapter of John. And if anyone ever tells you they're going to pray the Lord's Prayer, you need to bring them over to John 17. Most people think the Lord's Prayer is "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That wasn't the Lord's Prayer. That was the disciples' prayer. That was the prayer that the Lord taught the disciples to pray. But the Lord's Prayer is found in John 17. And He prayed and He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine and thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I gave them in thy name, I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And so he prayed that they might be one, even as he and the Father were one. Now, what kind of unity is there between the Father and the Son? It's indivisible. It can't be divided. It can't be comprehended. And so is that union which he prayed for his people. So it is the intent of the Lord, and it is the purpose that he will accomplish to cause his people to dwell together in unity. And the psalmist said how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, this is not a desired thing that can't occur or doesn't occur, but it is an illustration given here in the psalm of something that does occur as the Lord works in His people and brings that to pass. John said, if we don't love the brethren, then the love of the Father is not in us. Now, he didn't say we need to work on that, did he? He said, if any man does not love his brother, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, that ought to cause you to kind of wither down a little bit when you read that. I mean, if you think about it, he didn't say, now, I want y'all to do this, but if you don't have love for the brethren, it's all right. No, he said something pretty strong. He said some words that were for those who by reason of use have their senses exercised both to discern both good and evil. See, this isn't milk. This is strong meat. But he said that. He said, if any man loves not his brother, then the love of the Father is not in him. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard. Now, think about that for a minute. He said that this unity, the pleasantness of it, was like the precious ointment that was poured out upon the head. Now, where does love for the brethren, one to the other, come from? Come from the Lord. I mean, you can't love me and I can't love you. But oh, what a sweet blessing it is. This is what he's saying here. What a blessing it is when God pours upon our head such a blessing to give us grace to love one another. He said how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like when Aaron was anointed with oil and ordained to be the high priest over the house of God. He said it's just like that. It's a pouring out of that oil. Aaron didn't make the oil. He didn't buy the oil. He didn't come up with the oil. He didn't pour the oil. But it was poured upon him anyway, but it was like that precious ointment. And it didn't run, it didn't just go on his head. You know, we think about a lot of times, of course I've been in situations and stuff where supposedly somebody was anointed with oil, and it's usually just a little drop or something. And I understand, you know, why that is, and that's okay and all of that. But that wasn't how they anointed Aaron's head with oil. They didn't go up there and just touch him. They took a jug of oil and they poured it on his head. And I mean, it ran down over the top of his head, and it says it ran down in his beard. It was precious because it was the blessing of God. It was the ordination of God. It was the gift of God to him, making him a priest in the house of God. What has the Lord called his people to be? Priests and kings in the house of God. And he has anointed his people to this end, to love one another. It is like the precious ointment that ran down upon Aaron's beard and went down to the skirts of his garments. I mean, they poured some oil on him, huh? I mean, it covered him up. It didn't just stop at his head, but it controlled him. It consumed him. It went from head to foot. Now, we live in a religious age, and we live in a time, and we live in under a certain understanding that men have of what the unity of the brethren is. It's just something that's kind of like part of our life. It's kind of like this little corner over here. And you know, as long as we attend to it, it's okay. But that's not the picture that it shows here. You see, if we're members one of another, which I think the Scripture says that, does it not? It says we're members one of another. Now, what is a member? A member's like your finger. Now, your finger's not you. But you don't want somebody to take a knife and cut it off either, do you? Why? Because it's part of you. I mean, you're not going to die if somebody cuts your finger off. But nobody's going to say, well, just go ahead and cut it off. I don't care about my finger. Why? Because it's part of us. It's part of our body. How precious it is. How blessed it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like that pouring of that oil that covers us from head to foot. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The dew of Hermon. Now Hermon and Zion are really interchangeable. The Mount Hermon and Mount Zion are interchangeable. I won't go there, but if you can go to, I think it's Deuteronomy 4:48, it says Hermon, which is Zion. So Mount Hermon, the dew of Mount Hermon, is the dew of Mount Zion. Now what is Mount Zion? Mount Zion in the Scripture is typical of Jerusalem, which Jerusalem is the city of God, the kingdom of God, the place of the Lord's habitation. And where has the Lord been pleased to dwell? In the earth. He's not in temples made with hands. He's not inside the walls of these buildings because the building's here. Where did he say he would be pleased to dwell? He said where two or more of you are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you. You see, the Lord is pleased to dwell in the midst of His people. Now, He does indwell us individually. But you see, the people of God are not islands. And a man is a fool that thinks that he is. A man's a fool that thinks that he can enjoy the blessings of God individually, in the same way and fashion in which the Scripture speaks about here, when it says how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, it doesn't say there's not a blessing to every individual child of God. But there's not a blessing to every individual child of God that is what he's talking about here. See, this is a blessing that is reserved unto the saints of God as they dwell together in unity. That's what David said. Another song of degrees. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I was glad. He said, it was a delight to me. It was a thing that I treasured. He said, I couldn't wait till the time came. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem's builded as a city that's compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, give thanks unto the name of the Lord. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Every one of us ought to give thanks to the Lord. We hope we do give thanks to the Lord. The writer of Hebrews said that the fruit of our lips is the sacrifice of praise, giving thanks unto His name. But oh, there is an especial anointing of blessing when the saints of God come together to that end. And how foolish it is. How foolish it is for men to consider that they can circumvent that. That they don't need that. They're somehow complete without that. How foolish. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter for what reason we set forth in our minds to count it a light thing. It doesn't matter. Who's the one that's hindered in that? We are. Oh, that the Lord might give us an understanding of the blessing. See, we're not on a membership right now. We're not on a penchant here to try to get folks to do something, become religious. But we're looking at what the Scripture says. What it says about the mindset of the man upon whom the blessing of God is poured out. What is it that he hungers for? What is it that he finds delight in? Where did David say he found great pleasure? He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Oh, what a blessing it is to dwell together with God's people in unity. Oh, it's like God pouring out the blessings of heaven. Now you see, Jerusalem was a type and foreshadow of the kingdom of God. But there are no types and foreshadows now that Christ is revealed. The house of God is not a house made with hands. But the house of God is the people of God who are brought together in His name, and He is pleased to dwell in their midst. And the gathering of the saints is not typical of the house of God. It's not a type and foreshadow of heaven. But it is heaven upon this earth. You see, the delight of God's people through the ages will be to dwell in the presence of Christ in the company of those who are the redeemed. John said he saw a great multitude which no man could number, gathered around the throne praising God night and day. What a delight. And dear brethren, that which God has given to the people of God to dwell together in unity in the present hour is not a type of that. It is that. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Did he say he was going to shift gears and become something else other than what he was? No. He said this mortal must put on immortality, and this corruptible must put on incorruption, but there's not going to be a difference. It's just going to be without sin. It's going to be without corruptibility. But dear brethren, the unity of the saints is not different now than it is then, apart from, excepting from, sin being in the midst. But the blessing's the same. The glory of it. It's begun. It is that which Christ has intended to bestow upon His people. If we say that we love God and we don't love our brethren, the Lord didn't say we were mistaken. What did He say? He said, you lie and you do not the truth. He said, if you don't love your brethren, you're telling a lie. Now, He said that. I didn't say that. I didn't make that up. He said if a man doesn't love his brother, he's telling a lie. I mean, if he's saying, oh, well, I'm worshiping Christ, I'm following Christ, but I don't care anything about my brethren. He said, you're telling a lie. You don't know anything about Christ because God is love. And if a man loves God, he's going to love the brethren. That's just the way that it is. That's not something that we can turn on and turn off. For there are set thrones of judgment. Or for there, that is, in the house of God, there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Oh, there is a prosperity that the world knows nothing of to those who love the kingdom of God. I mean, that's just what the Scripture says. That's the way that it is. The love of the kingdom of God is the blessing of God. You see, the Lord pours out His blessing on His people to cause them to love the people of God, the kingdom of God. Pray for the peace of it. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, for those who walk with me, he said, I will now say peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Because the kingdom of God. Paul said to the disciple, to the early believers, he said, oh, that we might esteem one another above ourselves. He wasn't giving them good advice. He was explaining to them the work of the Spirit of God in the people of God. That we might esteem one another more highly than ourselves. That we might seek to bear one another's burdens. And do what? So fulfill the law of Christ. Men talk about fulfilling the law and obeying the law and doing the law. Well, there it is. That's it. Bear one another's burdens. Esteem one another more highly. He said, let him that's greatest in the kingdom of God be what? The servant of all. By love, he said, serve one another. Minister to one another. Do good to one another. Wash one another's feet. Now, some people think they can take a bowl of water and fulfill what the Lord said. It's a lot more difficult than that. I wish it was that easy. I mean, that'd be an easy thing if we could just get together one day and wash one another's feet in a bowl of water, and then we've done what the Lord said. But no, brother. You can't do what the Lord said with a bowl of water. He said, be the servant of all. Seek one another's welfare. Do what you do for the brethren's sake. Now, how does a man do these things? I can't tell you. I can't tell you. All I can tell you is that that's what the Scripture says that the Lord does in His people. Now, He does say that. Oh, that the Lord might work in us both the will and to do of His good pleasure. That He might pour out that blessing on us even as He poured out that oil, as He had Moses to pour that oil upon Aaron's head so that it ran down his face and down his beard and down upon his robe, even to the skirt of his garment, down to his feet and dripped upon the ground. And all Aaron could do was just stand there, covered in the oil. But oh, what a blessing it was. Because in that, the Lord demonstrated that He had fit Aaron for the priesthood. And we've been called priests. If we're the children of God, if we're the followers of Christ, we're priests in the kingdom of God. We're not priests for our sake. A priest is not a priest for himself. Aaron wasn't a priest for himself. Aaron was a priest for the people of God. Dear brother, that's what we're called. We're not individual priests, each one of us carrying out our own little priestcraft. But we're priests in order to minister one to the other. That's why the body is to be supplied by that which every joint supplies. Now, is all the mouth? Is all the ear? Is all the foot? Is all the hand? No. God has set many members in the body. And because one's not the other, it doesn't mean anything. It just means that the Lord has blessed the body. And the body is blessed by the fact that the Lord has blessed the body. And it's benefited by that which every joint supplies. And the converse of that is true as well. It's hindered when one part of the body lacks. Oh, that the Lord might work these things in us, that He might show us and teach us a little bit. I don't know what we can do. I don't think it's a thing in the world you can do about it. But exactly right. But fall on your face and cry out, oh God, be merciful to us. Help us. Help us to see what it is that is the demonstration of Thy grace among us. Is God at work? Some folks think that God's at work when folks is coming in the door and being added to the church and all of those things. And that might be a sign that God's working in some ways. But I'll tell you how God says in the Scripture that He manifests Himself among His people is He calls them to love one another with a pure heart fervently, not with feigned love, but with desire. If any man say that he loved God and loved not his brother, he lies. And he does not the truth. By this shall we know that we are the children of God, because we love one another. May the Lord help us.